You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today is a special show where Cap Radio staff open up about the meals and recipes that feel like home. Patty Stoltz has been with Cap Radio for more than a decade as a donor engagement coordinator. Originally from the South, Patty says Christmas is not complete without Grandma's jam cake, which takes her back to being a child in Kentucky. We'll also get to know Insight producer Sarit Leshinsky a little better. With German and Thai roots, Sarit's family makes for a pretty unique interpretation of traditional recipes. But today, he's going to explain the special significance behind a German cookie named Kipfel. Both recipes show us that while time inevitably goes on, a family recipe can bring you back home. Patty and Sarit, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Hi, so, Vicky.
Patty, you've been at Cap Radio, you know, for a minute.
Yeah, I've been here over 12 years.
Over 12 years. So when I had put out a call for sharing a meal or a recipe that feels like home, you jumped at the chance to not only share a recipe, you brought it in the flesh. It smells remarkable. Tell us about it.
This is Grandma's jam cake. And from talking to my mother, I found out that it's really Aunt Virginia's jam cake. When she married into the family, she brought the cake, the recipe, and Grandma started making it. My mother grew up with it, and then I grew up with it, and it's just really not Christmas at my house without it. It smells wonderful. It tastes great. In fact, one year I asked Mom, when I was 11 or 12, to make it for my birthday. You know, you can have whatever cake you want. And it was just weird. It was delicious, but it was just weird. So now it's a December thing only.
You bring up such a special point about nostalgia, the smells, the scents. And I can smell this cake. It smells wonderful. I would think that if the moment you smell it, maybe even baking it, it takes you right back to the holidays and to Christmas.
Yes. Yes, it does.
You're like, we're here. It's happening.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so now we're a radio show. To visualize this, this cake has layers upon layers upon layers, or at least that's what it looks like to me. I'd say it's about 5 inches high, maybe 6 inches high. I'm just thinking about the slice and how beautiful it must look and how delicious it is. What goes into making this?
This has... my mother's family is from central Kentucky, and you know the South is famous for desserts. We'll talk about banana pudding and bourbon balls another time. But this has jam in it, of course. Blackberry is traditional. Strawberry works great. I alternate between years. Nuts, coconut, dried raisins, which I have since swapped out with dried cherries that I plump in bourbon. And some spices. It's very dense. It's kind of sticky. It's not a light summertime cake. And tradition demands that it must have dark chocolate frosting.
Yeah. I keep looking at your cake. It reminds me of a slice from Rick's Dessert Diner in Midtown Sacramento. They have these huge cakes, and they're just beautiful and delicious to eat. If someone wants to give this a go, how do you suggest they do it? What recommendations do you have? Because it does seem like a pretty involved process.
This cake, actually, not like a lot of Southern desserts, is foolproof. So because it's not light and airy, it really is an easy cake to make. You don't have to worry about it rising and then falling because it is so dense. It's very easy, and you'll be glad that you did.
It looks like chocolate. Does it taste like chocolate? I know there's jam as well.
No. The cake itself doesn't have chocolate in it. The chocolate is just on the frosting for the outside.
How many years have you prepared it yourself?
I've been making this since I got married, so I'll date myself and say close to 40 years.
Wow.
And since my husband retired a few years ago, he's been the one making it.
You passed on the tradition.
Indeed.
Does it bring you closer to your family when you're in the kitchen making this?
Oh, yes. Yes. Even when he's making it and I can smell it, I'm 8 years old again.
What do you think it is about this jam cake that is so special to your family and to your family memories?
Well, like you said, it's the nostalgia. It's the tradition. I know that we all follow some traditions that we don't necessarily like, but we do them for that feeling. But this isn't. It's, of course, a delicious cake, delicious dessert, but it is the tradition and the nostalgia, and it just takes me home.
Was cooking and food a big part of your family?
Not especially. So that's one of the things that makes this so special.
And you mentioned that it started, I believe, with your grandma, correct?
My grandmother's sister-in-law, yes. And apparently the original recipe from talking to mom called for lard. And so when my mom started making it herself in the 60s, she substituted lard for Wesson oil, which is a very Southern thing. And so we make it with oil now. I did make it with lard one year just to do it, and I couldn't really tell a difference.
Yeah. I think about your mom and your grandma and a sister-in-law that it started with,
yes.
Correct? You've been baking this cake for 40 years, since as long as you've been married. Does this recipe go back like a century?
This goes back, Aunt Virginia and Uncle Guy got married in the late 20s. So close to it, yeah.
Wow, you have to celebrate when you get to the late 20s. It's just
yes.
a couple years from now.
Yes, and I don't know how long it was in Aunt Virginia's family.
Is your mom still around?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. And do you spend the holidays together?
Yes, she will come over Christmas Day and we'll have jam cake and talk about how much better mine is than Grandma's.
I was just going to ask that, because since you're making it, passing on the tradition from one generation to the next, I was curious what your mom thought about your version of jam cake and even your husband's now that he's given it a go.
Well, I've made a few changes to it. The original recipe calls for raisins that you plump in hot water. I've substituted those for dried cherries plumped in bourbon. They make it's terrific that way, much better. And, of course, substituting the oil and the lard. But, yeah, it's pretty good.
How long does it take to bake?
Probably about 35 minutes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, it goes together very quickly. You don't need fancy equipment. Everything goes in the bowl, and you just stir it all up.
Wow. Is there a technique to actually doing the layers of the cake? I always get kind of intimidated, like I'm going to mess it up or I'm going to break something, one of the layers.
No. It's like I said, it's a pretty forgiving recipe.
Wonderful. Grandma's jam cake.
Grandma's jam cake.
It smells delicious. Okay, Sarit, you're up.
Yay, I get to be on this side of the dividing glass this time.
Yes, when I read the credits of Insight, people hear your name every day. Sarit Leshinsky, you've been with us now for a little over a year. You're from the East Coast. Before we dive into the recipe you want to share, let's just learn a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so a quick introduction to myself. I grew up on the East Coast. I'm originally from Vancouver, Washington, but that's for like the first 2.5 years of my life. So does that really count?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, okay, we'll count. So honorary son of the Pacific Northwest. Grew up in Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Valley, as I like to say, from outside of Allentown. So for the Billy Joel song, whether or not people in my area agree with it or not, that's up for debate. Went back to the Pacific Northwest for college, went back to the Lehigh Valley and got started professionally there. And then now I'm in Sacramento just over a year ago.
So what recipe do you want to share? Because you also have an interesting background with your mom and your dad.
Yeah. So my dad is from Bavaria. So he's from the southern part of Germany. And my mom is from the island of Phuket, which is off the coast of Thailand. And so growing up for me, I've kind of had that split cultural household. But the recipe I've picked today to talk about is called a Vanillekipferl, which is a German cookie that gets made a lot around Christmas time. And it's part of this like larger family of Christmas cookies that are called Plätzchen. So this is the one that like we make probably the most around Christmas time.
Why do you think that is? What's so special about it?
Well, for one, it's because it's easy. And two, because it's one that kind of universally around my family, and my family at the moment is just like my mom and my dad, and at the time my grandmother. It's one that like we just all universally loved, and my mom always requests we make this one. And so it's just easy, simple, but also really, really nostalgic for my dad, and my mom really loves it.
Given that you have a German and a Thai household, I would think that your holiday get-togethers and what's the spread that you have is pretty diverse, and you have a good array of things going on.
It is, I would say my family's not big when it comes to holidays. So to a certain extent, sometimes it's a little bit of going through the motions. But at least when it comes to the holiday time, this is actually one of the funny parts of it, is we end up making a lot of German food for holidays. So if it's, you know, Christmas or even when we are celebrating Thanksgiving, we tend to make a lot of German recipes. But my mom is the one that cooks in the house. So she is...
And she's Thai.
And she's Thai. So we end up having a Thai modified German dish. So to sort of substitute, like, for instance, we'll make like rouladen, which is like a meat roll filled with like vegetables and mustard and bacon. Usually in Germany, you'd make it with beef. My mom doesn't eat beef, so we end up substituting pork. Or we also make another traditional one is Sauerbraten, which is like a roast that you sort of pickle in vinegar. Again, usually beef, end up making it with pork because mom doesn't eat beef. So we've ended up with these like modifications over the years, or we eat everything with rice, or she'll add chili sauce on the side of like a German dish, and it works. It's good, but it's also untraditional.
I mean, you're saying going through the motions, but it seems like food and your family's interpretation of food and evolving with food is a pretty big fixture. It seems like you eat well at your household.
I'd like to think so. And I think for my parents, it's a lot of the connection sort of like, you know, to their home culture, to their home country. They're both thousands of miles away from where they were born and from where the rest of my family lives. So it's important to sort of keep having that connection.
Yeah, and it passed down to you. It's important to you as well.
It is. It's the food I grew up eating. So I've always loved having, you know, one day we have a German dish, second day we have like a Thai dish, like, you know, like a stir fry or a papaya salad or something like that. So for me, having that variety and also having that connection to like my grandparents and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins who I see, you know, in person maybe once every couple of years. It's having that familiarity and sort of in your back pocket. So I've been learning how to make a lot of these dishes.
Yeah. I mean, it also seems just learning about all of the dishes and interpretations of dishes that you get to enjoy at home with your parents, that you had a lot to choose from for this assignment, but you landed on these cookies. Before you get into preparing it, I know it's special for your dad's side of the family, but you did have other options. Why did you land on this?
So for me, it has this interesting sort of new tradition to me. So when I was growing up, I'd usually go to Germany with my family. It would be in the summer. We never really went around Christmas time. So the only times that I've been there with my grandparents was once when I was 6 months old, and then once in, I think it was 2018. So I was, you know, going into my last year of college. And the time I went when I was in college, there was this like big box full of cookies, a box full of Plätzchen that is traditional. The box has been in my family for decades upon decades. I think my dad said it's been there for over 70 years. It's like this big hammered engraved box with a lot of like religious text on it, hammered metal, all of it. And it's just filled to the brim with cookies. And so my dad had the box growing up. It's very familiar to him and my uncles and the whole side of the family. For me, it's been new. So we were sitting there eating all of these cookies. Kipfel, also one of my favorites. There's a bunch of others. Rumtörtchen, Ischlertörtchen, Zimtsterne. They're like these little sandwiches with jam and pistachios and all of that. And then when we came back to the U.S., COVID pandemic hit. Never really got to see my grandma again. She ended up passing away. So when we were at home, sort of to make that connection during COVID when she was still alive, we decided to start making these cookies. And Kipfel, because they were easy, got made the most. And then when she passed away, we went back to, you know, have the funeral and all that. And the box went to one of my aunts or uncles. So they took that. And what I ended up taking was her recipe book, which is written in Bavarian, has like, you know, some of its text, a lot of it's handwritten. A lot of the cookie recipes are in it. And now we're making them out of sort of like the memory of my Oma, my grandmother. And my dad ended up translating a lot of it because I can't read her handwriting. It's in shorthand. It's in Bavarian dialect. So it's kind of evolved into this sort of new tradition. Carry on the memory of Oma, but put our own twist on it.
That is so special. And it reminds me, Patty, of what you were sharing with Grandma's jam cake and how, you know, even when they pass away, pieces of them, important pieces of them, special pieces of them remain for generations to come. So what is the recipe, Sarit?
So for Kipfel, it's a pretty crumbly cookie. The recipe I have, it does include egg yolks. The ones I've made at home, usually I don't put egg in them. So I can't say 100% what the difference is, but it's really simple. It's a couple cups of flour, some egg yolks, or not. I don't judge.
Or not? What happens? I would think that's a pretty important ingredient.
I found it doesn't really make all that much of a difference.
So you made it both ways.
I have made it once with egg, multiple times without egg, but it ends up being pretty crumbly, sort of like a shortbread almost consistency. Some butter, so like cold butter, you knead it in, and then you finally chop some almonds. So roast almonds and then put in a food processor till it's not like a flour, but you know, there's little granules of almond. You mix it all together, you add powdered sugar, so not regular sugar, about a cup or so of powdered sugar, a little bit of vanilla extract and a pinch of salt. Just knead it all together, like on a cutting board, or I've done it in a bowl before. You form it into like a big cylinder, chill it in the fridge, and then once it's like nice and chilled, you cut it up into little discs and form them into little crescents or little horn shapes, and then you bake them at like 400 degrees for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just until they're like nice and golden brown. Take them out, put them on a baking rack, and then you mix powdered sugar and vanilla sugar, which is like, it's very common in Germany. I'm not exactly sure how common it is in the US. And then you just like dust on top of them until they're really, really nicely like powdered. And then you just devour the whole bunch of them because they're amazing.
Yeah, they sound amazing. I know that Patty's jam cake is foolproof. Is this foolproof for someone who wants to give it a go for the first time?
I'd say it's pretty foolproof. It's only less than 10 ingredients and you need to bake it for 15 minutes plus chilling in the fridge. So I'd say it's pretty foolproof.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us. What I love about this is that we work together. We see each other a lot at Cap Radio in the building, but we get to learn so much about each other when it comes to meals and food and breaking bread with each other, learning about your Kentucky roots, your German and Thai roots as well. But before we go, I'm still looking at the cake that Patty made, and I see a knife, so we can slice a piece and maybe have a sugary toast, a sugary bite that's like a toast celebrating.
I will tell you, Vicky, that a slice of this with a cup of coffee is the best breakfast you'll ever have.
And I have a cup of coffee, as I am very fortunate. How serendipitous.
Okay,
first of all, this looks gorgeous. So on the outside, if I was walking by, I'd think it is a decadent chocolate cake with multiple layers. But when you open it, Patty, I see the bourbon cherries that you're talking about. And is there coconut in
coconut,
here too?
Coconut, yes.
It kind of reminds me, I haven't taken a bite yet, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of German chocolate cake with the coconut frosting. But it smells like a panettone, a little bit.
It smells like Christmas.
It smells like Christmas, which is usually, I mean, that is a baked good that you would eat at Christmas. Okay, let's give it a go. Oh, yum. This is wonderful.
It's so good.
You cannot have one bite of this.
No.
It's not possible.
No.
I was like, wow, Patty, you really cut me a big slice. But I'm like, no, it's going.
My eyes are rolling back in my head.
It is delicious. And I love that it's not too sweet. I love that. It looks like it could be, mm-hmm. but it's not. And I also love the addition of the cherries and that change that you made.
Yes.
With the bourbon.
Bourbon cherries, yeah.
Yeah, cherries, which is wonderful. And what is the frosting?
It's just a dark fudge frosting. It's a basic chocolate frosting. I've done some research on the recipe, and I guess other jam cakes use a caramel frosting. And no, that would just be wrong. So we use a dark chocolate frosting because, A, it was all about kids and we wanted chocolate. And it's not too sweet. And it just seems like such a nice counterpoint.
Oh, thank you so much for baking this. It's wonderful and a great way to end this segment. I think a lot of people are going to want to try Patty's grandma's jam cake.
Patty, I would like the recipe to this jam cake because I'm going to be enjoying this at my desk in a few minutes.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
There's going to be a lot of recipe swapping at Cap Radio. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarit. Thank you, Grandma. Thank you, Aunt Virginia.
That is Cap Radio Donor Engagement Coordinator Patty Stoltz talking about her grandma's jam cake, and Insight producer Sarit Lashinsky explaining the significance behind a German cookie named Kipfel. We put together a list of family recipes. You can find it online on our Insight page at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.